Yes, if you ask me questions about your husband, I'll tell you the truth. But then there's someone else who you're going to ask and she'll say, I don't know who that is.
Very unfeminist and presumptive of me to think that you're just in a cis heteronormative relationship.
I have to be in charge of ensuring that your boyfriend doesn't cheat on you, that I lack out on really, really, really good dick because I'm a feminist? Fuck no. So for me, that's just like, that's my whole stance there. Like, I will fight for your rights and fuck your man and still love you as a woman.
Treachery is treachery. Like, if you're doing a Portia situation.
Welcome to the Feminist Bar Podcast with your host, Tina Tswemaka. Join me for drinks and chats with feminists all over the world across background, sexuality, and discipline to talk about all things life through our radical feminist lens.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the season one finale of the Feminist Bar Podcast. Today is a very, very special episode. I am here with all your season one faves. Woo! Zimbarbian, at FKA Kizza, at Dawn Crowley and the Feminist Witch. So today we are going to be talking about something really interesting, something that I asked on Instagram and people came for me, but it's cool. I ain't got no beef. So today we are going to be talking about sisterhood again, except this time we are talking about sisterhood and infidelity, I guess. If you want to put it simply, you know, fucking other people's men. Okay. Another season fave that we have here today is Pia Something. So, okay, I am just going to get started and I'm going to ask for our guests to introduce themselves, starting with Anne. You can start.
Hi, everyone. My name is Anne. Some might know me as Dawn Crowley Anne or the Feminist Witch, and I am here to talk about how my experience with fucking other people's men and how I still support you as a feminist, even though I fucked your man. Yeah.
Kim, let's go. You're next.
All right. Hi, everyone. My name is Kim. I think it was episode 2 or 3. So I am here to talk about the same thing that Anne is here to talk about. I still support you, sis. But in the streets, it's anyone's game, hey? It's anyone's game.
Where are the wholesome women? Tash, hey.
Hi.
It's going to be a great episode.
Hi, everyone. My name is Tash, aka Zimbarbian. I guess I'm here to support the wholesome women.
Yes, girl.
That's a lie. Well, I think maybe what's unique is that I've also been on both sides of the spectrum. So hopefully that can give some gravitas to the conversation. But I'm happy to hear everyone's opinion, and thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. Pia, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name is Paida. I work in logistics, but I'm a bad bitch by profession. Today, you've caught me while I'm still at work. And I'm having such an awful day. Oh my gosh. But nothing a little wine can't fix.
I know that's right.
Okay. So like I said, today we are going to be talking about you fuck my man and that's not feminist. So I actually saw this on Twitter and one of the South African influencers was like, I'm tired of people talking about this. I think that this topic is really tired. And I kind of disagree because I think, you know, feminism and gender equality are not just about eliminating and destructing institutions. They're also about the way that we interact with each other as women on an interpersonal level. So I think that, you know, the topic is worth talking about. So we're going to do just that. And the first question that we have today is, how far do the parameters of sisterhood go? Do they extend into relationships, romantic and sexual? I don't know. I think I'll start because I have actually a short little story time, which is that when I met, you know, my current girlfriend, she actually had a girlfriend. What happened was she came home with me after, you know, having come to a party, her girlfriend. It wasn't like traitorish because from what I understand, like the next day she was transparent with her girlfriend about having come home with me. And her girlfriend said, and I quote, because she said, and I quote, but isn't she a feminist? So why would she do that? So that was interesting to me. And I'm going to leave that in the open. I'm not going to give that, you know.
Wait, no. But before you go far, like in terms of that story time, when she said that, quote unquote, how did you feel about that statement?
It brought me back to the whole like holding feminists to high standards. So I was like, so I can't fuck because I'm a feminist. Like, so my coochie is like, oh no, you can't fuck this person because you're a feminist. No. So I was like, that has nothing to do with that. Because, you know, I could fuck everybody's man and still save like 600 child brides. So I'd really love to hear, you know, what someone would have to say about that. So I don't know who wants to kind of like go first on answering this question.
It reminds me of a tweet, right, that some girl had put up. I can't remember what country she's from. And she's like, feminists are so fake. They talk about fighting for women and yet they're going to fuck your boyfriend or something like that, right? And I remember specifically responding that we will fuck your boyfriends and your fathers too. And the moment we're done having our orgasms, we're going to come and continue fighting for your rights. Because what people forget is that feminism is about ensuring that you live an equal life where you are not discriminated against because you are a woman or of a particular body type or race or whatever, right? It's not about me ensuring that your dusty ass cheating boyfriend stays faithful. We're not adding, of all the things that feminists have to do, now I have to be in charge of ensuring that your boyfriend doesn't cheat on you, that I lack out on really, really, really good dick because I'm a feminist? Fuck no. So for me, that's just like, that's my whole stance there. Like, I will fight for your rights and fuck your man and still love you as a woman.
I have, like, I think I agree with that perspective for the most part. But from my perspective, I think that it depends on amounts of degrees of separation. Because treachery is treachery. Like, if you're doing a Portia situation, you can't expect people to still be like, oh, okay, well, she's still fighting for our rights.
Yes.
Because it's like, well, sis, we're that close. But ultimately, every person has to be, like, you know, accountable to themselves. And you now don't have to place. So I always say, for me personally, when it's a situation where it's like just some other woman who then became a side chick, that person doesn't owe me anything. Like, especially if you're married and then people are like, how can you fuck a married man? Like, remind him he's married, okay? Like, that's not my business. But if it's somebody that's close to me and is a friend, I think that that is a betrayal of feminism because a lot of feminism has to do with sisterhood from my perspective, just because it's like stand alone and make the whole journey even more difficult. Like, that's giving the patriarchy even more fuel because you need your sisters to be able to back you for certain things that the patriarchy would want to use against us. So if it's someone that close to you, that's a violation from my perspective.
I know, and I completely agree with you.
I completely agree.
Like, a close friend ended up fucking another friend's man. And it was like, forget him. But what about the sisterhood? I feel like that's for me, my friends, man, you are a war. I can't fuck with you. But if I don't know you, I don't know your relationship. If your man doesn't want to respect it, who am I to respect it? But if you're my friend, trust my, like, I'm not touching coochies with you. Not like that. I love you, but not like that. Unless maybe we're doing like a threesome or twosome or just you and me kind of thing. But with another man that is your man and no. That is like, that's where my sisterhood begins.
Kim?
I completely agree. And I think it also comes back to this idea of sisterhood and holding feminists to a higher standard where we're supposed to love and, you know, take care of one another and have this sort of sugary form of sisterhood. And we talked about it in my episode a little bit about how even if I don't want your man or whatever it is, I can still be your sister and not like you as a person, like as a woman, you know. If you're a pick me, sisterhood means that, you know what, I'm still here for you, but I don't like you and you probably don't like me either. But I think at the end of the day, it's about proximity, and that speaks more to friendship and having your camaraderie with like your sisters biological, chosen, all that sort of stuff. Great. But when it comes to, you know, I happen to meet this person and I know he's dating or has been rumored to be dating someone I know from somewhere else, I think putting that responsibility on me for him to be faithful. If yeah. I say no, I'm also not standing in front of him, stopping him from cheating with every other girl in the room, because at the end of the day, I also don't know what arrangement you have with your man. It would be very unfeminist and presumptive of me to think that you're just in a cis heteronormative relationship. Right. I don't know.
That's where the last part has killed me. You know what? I'm going to be using that now.
I actually don't know. So, hey.
It is very unfeminist of me to assume that you're in a cis hetero relationship.
Pia, do you want to say so?
So one time at band camp, I had this friend. We weren't like close, but we were cool. We used to like go out together or whatever, like go to the club and shit together. And then she started dating an old friend of mine. I'd known him since I was a teenager. So I was like, oh, cool, you guys are dating. That's cute. And then one night him and I go out and one thing led to another and I slept with him. I liked it. So I did it again for 3 months. And I never mentioned it to her. Even though she was my friend, I never mentioned it. When she found out, she had a blow-up fight with him. She didn't confront me. I knew she knew. And she knew that I knew that she knew. But we've never had that conversation. We just stopped talking. Like, it was kind of like an unspoken thing where I knew I did something wrong. And she knew I'd done something wrong. But we didn't actually attempt to hash it out or anything. We both just decided, you know what, let's just both move on with our lives. If we see each other, we're fine. But we're just not friends anymore. And I kind of, after that whole thing, I was really thinking, okay, so I know I'm an asshole, but did I really have to do that? Like, I really could have spoken to her about it the first time it happened. I didn't. And I chose to keep going for months and months and months and not saying a word to her, even though I considered her my friend. Does that make me less feminist? I don't know.
I mean, I think you can be. Yeah, I think you can be a feminist and still be an asshole.
Yeah, and that's just the thing. People think because we're feminists, we're supposed to be saints. Fuck no. Mm-hmm. That's far from it. I kind of get her situation because I had a crush on a guy my friend had a thing with, and I was just like, should I go for it? Should I go for it? Should I go for it? But the reason why I didn't go for it is because our friendship was way more important to me than fucking that guy. But it wasn't because, like, I'm a feminist and I shouldn't do this. So no.
Okay. I mean, I'm still at Pia's, like, oh, and then I did it one night and then accidentally for 3 months. But, you know, it seems like I'm the only one who reacted. So
nah, I think, like, I've literally been in exactly the same situation at band camp. So, like, I can understand. I can understand why it would happen that way. It just so happened that in that situation for me, I had been friends with the guy, like really close friends for a long time. And then his girlfriend used to hang out with us. So it was like friend like that. But then I never really thought we were friends that deep. So I was like, it is what it is.
Not friends that deep, to be honest.
Girl, okay, that was me.
So I am going to move on to the second question, which I think, you know, is pretty interesting. And it is, can we exclude men completely from the way that we interact with each other as women? And I just want to say, it's a no, nobody's going to do it because you're always going to have the pick me's. And this is so evident because sometimes someone will come to you as a woman and still go back to that same nigga that they came to you as a woman about. So I don't know exactly how we can exclude niggas. So even if we were like, okay, let's talk it out. We are somehow, you know, dating the same person. We are somehow seeing the same person. This is what they did to me. This is what they did to me. I think that other person is still going to go on and do whatever they want to do with that person. I actually have a story time. Oh my God, you guys. So about 2 years ago, I was dating an ex of mine and I cheated on her with somebody else. This somebody else then went and told her, did they not start dating? Like, they showed up like at the same party, like that night, like together. And the funny thing is that they actually ended up being in a long-term relationship. Like, but anyway, my point is, I mean, they excluded me well out of that interaction, but so maybe like for queer people, for women, for people that are fluid, it's possible. But as for heterosexuality, it's a no from me.
What yeah, I can definitely, co-sign with that, because there are a group of people I've never met, but I could never be cool with them because of something that happened with some guy. And that's just that on that. Like, they all still hang out together. They're all still friends. And maybe these are nice people. I don't know. But I just, it's the proximity, and it affects everything. And I think that would impact whatever, quote unquote, sisterhood or whatever it is, where it will always just be awkward because of some guy. I don't know how far, how long. I don't know how much longer I need to be in therapy. I don't know if I can let it go. But like, it's just one of those things where our interactions with men, especially if you're a heterosexual woman, are from when we're young. You're told, don't dress like this because Uncle So-and-so is coming on. Men, mm-hmm. you need to do this. When your father comes home, the whole house goes upside down. So your whole timetable, your whole day is centered around men. And so then now when you're living on your own, the role of, you know, your relatives or your male family is then replaced by your guy friends and your guy friend's friends. Like, if you're hanging out with this guy and you happen to like his friend, that's going to impact the way you're going to act when you go to his house, whether it's just to drop off a charger or, you know, to come to like hang out with everybody. And really, myself trying to unlearn it or challenging it in myself almost feels like impossible, because I don't realize how much I think about men, and not even in a romantic sense. Like, living in Harare, if I want to go to town, I'm thinking, oh, there's going to be those men over there who are going to catcall me, so I'm not going to wear those jeans based on men. Like, so it's so difficult, even if I was able to unlearn it or scratch it off romantically, socially, however it's going to be perceived, it's not that simple. And I think it's fair to say that I don't know that it's possible. I really don't. And because I've lived the last 27 years of my life this way, I don't know how to. That's just me though.
I have two things I'd want to say. The first one would be, I think that being able to separate men from the conversation at some level has to do with, again, degrees of separation. Like, for me personally, with people that I know, like, I'm over that person, I can separate them from the conversation. I don't know if this is going too left field, but if this was me maybe 4 years ago, I wouldn't be on this call with Kim, because I heard Kim fucked my man. Facts.
Oh.
And then now, because like, whether or not that's actually a thing that happened, it's not that deep. So the degree of separation makes it that you can separate the person. You can separate the person from the act and still have the sisterhood. The second thing I was going to say is that outside of the degrees of separation, women, like what you were saying, Tina, are there will always be those pick-me's. Going with what Kim was saying as well, in terms of just society, it's so male-driven. And us as women have become so competition-driven that even if you don't like someone, it's like, I still want to be the best one. So ultimately, the fact that he comes back to me or he chooses me means that I've somehow had a one-up on the situation. And you're not actually trying to chase the man of the aspect, but more so that feeling of having won, which makes it difficult, again, to separate men from that conversation.
First of all, you should have seen my face on your statement about you and Kim. I was like, huh?
Is that a story time for another day? Because I would pay money for that one.
I'm actually quite shook.
Short story time. It was probably, I don't know how many years ago. And I think Tina and Kim, you remember this, because we had come to Rhodes, me and my significant other at the time, who we all know was the biggest hoe of note. We had come to Rhodes, there was Triva and all this stuff. And then probably like a few months after that, it was reported to me that apparently he was going back to Rhodes and would be seen coming in and out of Kim's room. And I was like, the same Kim that I was chilling with. You lie.
What room? That has never happened.
That's what I heard.
Has that ever happened?
No. What? I'm even trying to think which room. Was this in Brett's?
Girl, I don't know. That's what I heard. And probably, I'll say for like maybe a few months, I was actually bitter because I was like, wait, I thought we really got along, like Kim and I, when I was there. So where is this coming from? Meanwhile, you're on the sly fucking my man. Wait. And then I kind of got over it as soon as the next person that he hoed with came along. Then I was like, you know what? It's just one of many. We move.
That is crazy. Okay. All right. Just to close the story time. Tash, that wasn't me. Like, that was not me. There's no way. But the time period you're talking about and when it could have happened, it definitely was not me.
But then I think that in line with what Tina's question was, if we, or not even we, because you actually didn't know about it, if I had been in a position to separate the man aspect out of it, I'd have been like, wait, I really vibe with Kim. Let me just talk to Kim and be like, yo, what's up? Because that means we're now dealing with each other. But I think that like stands as a testament to the fact that, you know, it's very hard to remove the male aspects out of any of those situations.
So every time we've seen each other since then, oh, damn. I'm sorry. Sorry.
What? Yeah. No, at that point, like, to be fair, at that point, I was over it now. So I was just like, ugh. It is what it is. But then like there was a few times, like the first couple of times I'll be like
that's crazy, that's wild.
Okay. I have a story. Right?
What do you think? Ed has just been here the whole time,
like... you guys, like, I am shook, right? But you know what, it reminds me of a story, right? I have a story of a similar situation. Okay, not similar situation, but basically with the question. I used to date this guy, right? First boyfriend, madly in love. Then I had his Facebook password back in the day. And then I find messages from this girl calling him baby. She was constantly like posting pictures of him online. And then, you know, back then in the pic mix days, right? Even pic mix their pictures. Who pic mixes their picture with someone's boyfriend? Anyway, so I finally confront her, right? And we get into, like, for me, I'm just like, don't call my boyfriend baby. Don't flirt with him. And then my friend enters the situation. And then it's like a whole argument online. And she's calling her this whore. And there's just like bad blood, right? Because of this guy. Then him and I break up. And guess who he goes to date? Anyway, so at this point, I'm just like, this dirty, trifling ass girl in this guy who made me feel like it was all in my head. And I let it go. Then years later, I was constantly like posting books I would read on my Instagram. And so I didn't realize it, but she had followed me, right? And she's like, oh, what book is this? Could you please send it to me? And I'm like, I'm trying. By then, this was like me trying to, like, as a young feminist, I'm like, you're not supposed to hate the other woman. So I like her. And I'm like, I sent her the books. And I'm like, I want you to know that I am better than you. That me, whose boyfriend you were sleeping with or doing whatever with, I'm being nice to you. Then I think for almost like a year or so, she was always really nice to me on social media. And I was like, why do I hate this girl? Like, there's really no need for me to hate her. She's super sweet, super nice. She's always like posting all my pictures. Then I meet her like a couple of months ago. This was like years ago, by the way. I meet her like a couple of months ago in the club. And she stops me and she's like, oh my God, you're so pretty in person. And I go outside and I'm drunk as fuck. And I'm like kind of worried if I'll go home. And she's sitting there with me. She's like, are you fine? No, don't worry. Me and my boyfriend will sit here with you until your transport comes. And she's like, remember, don't call any guys that you don't like. Because I was like, you know what? I'm just going to call the guy just dumb to come and pick me up. And she's like, no, don't. Your friends are going to come. And she sat with me and we talked and she was really nice. And she's like, oh my God, we should really meet. I moved towns now. And I was like, you're so nice. We could be friends. And yeah, so next time I meet her, I'm going out for lunch with her. And really don't care about the other guy. So I guess when men are out of the equation, we can really be friends. And things just smooth over.
And I don't even think that this counts, you know, for just dating or, you know, romantic relationships. I think men can get in the way of a lot of things. It can simply just being at a party. And, you know, a man saying, oh, but this girl, I think she was looking at you funny. Suddenly, you're like, oh, what? But honestly, I wouldn't take a man's word for anything. So you should probably, if you hear that, you probably just did it and move on. Because now you've got the secret beef at a party with someone who's not even checking for you. They're not even looking at you. Nothing. And you just keep glancing over having secret beef. It's not worth it. Men lie. Pia, do you have something to say?
Okay. So first of all, I want to say that I used to be that person who centered men in everything I did. Like little things like getting dressed in the morning or the fragrance I picked for the day. Will a man look at me today? Will a man? I used to be that person. And now that I'm trying to outgrow that, I've also been finding my own voice and my being more comfortable with myself, which brings me to a similar story to Anne's about a guy I was dating who everything was fine. And then I went to a party and I was high as all hell. And this girl just comes up to me and she's like, it's so funny that we're sleeping with the same guy. And I'm like, girl, we're both high. And this is how you're choosing to tell me this information right now. But I was vibing with her all night. So also because I was so high, I didn't have the energy to be angry. So I was just like, oh, okay, tell me more. So she tells me everything. She told me everything. And I'm like, all right, okay. Do you want to go to the bar and take some shots? And she was so confused because she really thought I was going to try to fight her. So she kept saying, I don't want us to have any beef. And I'm like, no. Do you want these shots or what? And we're actually friends now and I quite like her. But I had to, in that moment, I realized I had to separate this man from finding this amazing, amazing woman, because she's really fucking amazing. Like, we have so many similar interests. I mean, I see why he liked her. I mean, I'll say that. But if I had been that girl to say, well, I'm better than you, so you can... I wouldn't have gotten the chance to click with an amazing person like I did with her. And you never really realize how much men ruin things until they don't ruin it anymore.
But sometimes women ruin things. Okay.
I agree.
I was with someone and then this chick like started following me on all my social media. And then for a period of probably like for months, like 3 to 6 months, she was like, My biggest fan on the social medias. She's like, chop us, we are your onions. Shave us, we are your carrots. You know, like she was really there. And then I'm like, oh, we social media friends. Then one day she decides that, okay, I'm gonna put a Twitter story in terms of my escapades with this guy. So she's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he drives this car. And then this is what he does. And then like when he comes to my house, we be having sex like this. Oh, this is a Twitter story. Remember when we used to do threads of like stories and people would be tuning in waiting for the next part of the thread?
Yes.
So yes. I'm busy because now we're social media friends, right? We follow each other. I'm watching this story on some, wow, sis, that's wild. Then at some point I'm like,
sounding a little familiar.
So now I'm on the phone with my nigga like, do you know this person? And why is it that she's just literally describing you? Nah, she crazy. That ain't even me, dog. After her story time, one, she knew that this person was my boyfriend before she even started following me and saying slay sis and all that and the other. Two, she knew that my mom was in ICU. Because at this point, we're social media friends. She knows everything that's going on in my life. She knew mm-hmm. that I was writing exams. And then that's the time that she decided, I'm going to tell her this through a Twitter thread. And then after the Twitter thread has blown up, go into my Facebook inbox on some, I find out like this. See, at that point, we can't separate the bullshitness of women. Like that's a sisterhood that I'm not willing to foster. To
find out like
me myself doesn't
exactly
want
it.
That's what she's trying to do.
Like no, me myself, I can't separate myself from the situation and be like, oh, she could have been a dope chick. Because I thought she was a dope chick. That's why I was like, yes, sisterhood of note on the social medias. But the way it all went down, I was like, you know what? I can never, for me personally, I could never go back and be like, okay, let's be friends and rise above. I can't.
Yeah, no, I think when we talk about these things, in as much as you yourself as a person, you feel like I'm above this, I'm a grown up, men do not run my life, I can do whatever I like. You always need to be sure that the other person is on the same page, because there's a lot of people who aren't. Yes, if you ask me questions about your husband, I'll tell you the truth. But then there's someone else who you're going to ask and she'll say, I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is.
But even with the whole proximity thing as well, I feel like one of Tina's exes, because of her proximity to someone I used to deal with, was just an asshole to me the entire time, just because of that. Like, she just wasn't nice, and she wasn't for a reason. It would just make things very awkward. I remember one day we were spending a really nice time at a Hustler's Market, and showed up with her little friends, and I ended up being on my own because I don't know where her loyalties were to this man, but it just meant that I needed to be excluded from the whole group of women, if that makes sense.
Oh, like, wow.
It
was
just, yeah. So mm-hmm.
It's very unfortunate when it happens like that.
Yeah,
because know, we could really just get along if it wasn't for all of this. We should just talk about it.
Yeah,
but when someone is a patriarchy princess, they're not. Mm-hmm. They don't give a shit about anything you have to say.
I'm going on to what Kim had said about being alienated from someone because of whatever their loyalty was with the person that she was with. There's nothing worse. It's very hard to be a feminist if you're the only one that's got the memo, right? Everyone is imputing all these things about the sisterhood, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're the only one with the memo, it's very difficult, because as much as men have the power to kind of segregate us and belittle us, nothing feels worse than being excluded by other women.
So we are going to move on to the very last question, which is that how useful has community been in helping women navigate the challenges of their relationships? And I want to go ahead and start and say, actually, I think the only reason some people have survived their relationships, whether they were abusive or whether they were cheaters or whether they were, you know, with just unhappy, is literally because they've had that friend who's always like, leave him now. You want a chance to leave him? Tell me. You want me to tell you to leave him? I will tell you to leave him. And I think that a lot of people don't have that. And it's crazy because growing up, I'm actually starting to realize that a lot of people don't have friends.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have a support system. And I think when you don't have that, if I tell Kim, yo, this is what happened, you know, with my girlfriend, she's going to be like, I'm coming there right now with my suitcase. Like, say less, you know. And a lot of people don't have that. Mm-hmm. So I think that community has been very useful, maybe not in how we as women interact with each other in the face of like infidelity and like what we've just spoken about. But I think outside of that, our friendships have really saved us from certain relationships. So I don't know what you guys think.
So, you know, when I was like my first boyfriend, technically, if I count, I've only ever had like two boyfriends, right? Because I'm a whore. And I just believe like there's so much love to convey. Like, there's so much love in me. I'm not just gonna give it one man, right?
So I've always it makes no sense.
Like, I date so many men at once, right? Because I like variety and I get bored easily. Like, my first boyfriend, right? He would cheat on me. He would treat me like shit, right?
Okay, and you just never told your friends about it. Yeah.
So didn't want that shame of like back to him, and they're like, but we told you to leave this man. Why are you going back, right? So when we broke up, like for good, because he left me for some other girl who also cheated on him. So anyway, what happens is, like, my friends didn't understand. They were like, what you mean this very perfect, nice guy, like, you know, hurt you? And like, they didn't understand, and it was so hard for me to get over that breakup because my friends never got it, right? Then my next boyfriend, right, my friends loved him. Like, you know how like people like always complain about that girl's always bringing her boyfriend to the club? That was me, right? And it's not even in that like I can't live with my boyfriend way, like my boyfriend was just literally one of the girls. Like, even my friends would just enjoy it. He's like there in the corner looking at us. And then he's just like taking care of everyone and dropping us off home, like really sweet and nice, right? But I would always tell one friend all the shit he did. I would always tell her. And she lives in Kenya. And she'd just be like, she called him, first of all, Mr. Cat Shit. Whenever he'd do anything, she's just like, I am packing cat shit to Zambia and I'm going to drop it on his doorstep and throw it on his face. And she was just like all out, right? Whenever he would do something, like, I wasn't comfortable telling my other friends yet because they loved him. Like, he could do no wrong, right? I didn't even know how to explain whenever he would do stuff that would hurt me, but it wasn't even that bad. It wasn't like the first boyfriend, but I would always tell her. And when I told her, and even when we broke up, she was my biggest support system. She was just like, you know, where moments where I was gaslighting myself, like, oh my God, I was the one that's wrong and this and this. And she's like, no, you've been telling me everything that's been happening. And from what I can see, he was the one that's wrong. And this and this and this. And she was so there for me that it was like, after like the hormones in me like left, my dopamine levels were like back to normal. I like got over him, but mostly because of her, because she was like constantly always there, always reminding me that I deserve better. And every time we would fight, she'd just like, go and fuck this other guy. That guy? Go and fuck this other guy. Don't even waste your time. Just go and fuck that other man. In fact, go and have a baby for that other man so that he finally understands how pissed off you are. So I feel like it's really important. And I wish I had told more of my friends, and I told my other friends like when he really hurt me, so that they would have understood. Because the worst thing, like, let me tell you, the worst thing in the world is where someone has hurt you and you're getting over a breakup and your friends can't get over him because he's such a nice guy. I remember telling one of my friends what he did, what he said to me that really hurt me. And my friends, I felt unheard, gaslit, just like pass it off because he was such a nice guy. And I'm like, I wish I had actually told you. Then you would understand how when I come and complain, you must listen and see that, okay, yeah, he was actually a terrible guy. So always tell your friends. Like, always have a support system around. Always.
Well, I don't know. And I feel like maybe the universe knew that I was going to talk about P, and then her face came up on my screen. I think that, you know, P and I are obviously very close. And there was a situation where, like, something had happened with me and the person that I was with, and that I told P. Because community is important. And I don't think I would have been able to go through a lot of things if it wasn't for that community. But the biggest fight that P and I have ever had is because I forgave him and she never did. And so she would come and be like disrespectful towards him, which then caused us to have beef. Cause I was like, well, you're not gonna talk to my man like that. And she's like, well, I'm not gonna respect a nigga that did this and this to you. So fuck that nigga. And I'm like, well, now you're making it awkward for me. And now I don't feel like I can tell you things. So there was a long period of time where I wasn't telling P anything. Cause I was like, she can't handle herself. Like, she'll literally never forgive this person. Hi, baby. And I was like, she'll never forgive this person and will just make everything awkward. So I like to be on the line. I like community, but I think that there's certain things that you don't tell people until you're at least sure enough to have doubt about it. You know what I mean? Like, if you know that you're going to forgive someone about something, it's not worth telling people about it, because then there's just going to be beef for no reason. But if you're like really unsure about whether or not you're going to go one way or the other, I would hope, for me personally, the community that I want is such that you're not just always on my side. I want you to be on the side of my happiness. And maybe that's with that person, and you act more as like a, okay, how do we bring you guys together kind of role? Or maybe that's not with that person and you're like, yes, sis, go fuck that other guy around the corner. Whatever that looks like in different situations, that's the community that I want. But it's obviously not a one size fits all.
I think overall, like, where community has helped me is as an overthinker. Sometimes you can gaslight yourself into thinking it's not that bad.
Yeah.
When you tell your friends, they're like, sis. Really, like, that is textbook 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And, you know, on social media, when people talk about not girls' makeup stuff or whatever, it's just like, no, we've actually all had very similar lived experiences and have experienced these patterns. And it's also helpful if, you know, someone's been through it and you can kind of see how this could possibly end. I think that's really important. But also as women, I feel like when you're sharing things, of course, there's the risk that your friends are not going to like this person and it's going to make things awkward. But sometimes I know I'm that friend, like, as soon as you mistreat my friend, we're done, it's cool, it's like, it's whatever. But I feel like sometimes, maybe it's because I'm from the inside looking out, it's so necessary, because the important part of being that friend is not then when things fall apart to be like, oh, I told you so, you know, that's not helpful, that's not sisterhood, that's not friendship at all. It's more so like, yeah, no, we saw it coming, but it's actually okay, I'm still here for you, I'm still, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, there's, of course, no one size fits all, but I think community is so important, especially as women, because we share so many similar experiences, but because we're told we don't like each other, we don't listen to each other, or it's just like, oh, she's just being a hater. But actually, these niggas really just, they be moving mad in the exact same, they read from the same book. Like, so, yeah.
Yeah,
I totally mm-hmm. can agree on that, because a couple of years ago, maybe like 2014, 2015, I was dating this guy and I was like unraveling in this feminist group chat I was in.
Did you write a book about him?
Because I had heard, that he was actually sleeping with one of the girls in that group, and I was unraveling in the group, and I was like, so you guys are here talking about this when this, in fact, I remember someone else was even like, don't you guys want to deal with this other group? And I was like, no, sis, I don't. I want to deal with this right now, right here. And I remember she then like messaged me in my DM. Well, she didn't know at the time that I was talking about her, but she DM'd me and she was like, hey, I know that you're dating so-and-so who I used to date, and I just want to let you know that, you know, it's very normal of him, you know, to put you in these cycles and to make you feel like this. And, you know, I promise you, like, you'll get over it and you'll get over him. And at the time, you know, I was just like, oh, whatever. But after I actually found out it wasn't true that, you know, she wasn't fucking him at all, I actually thought, like, I thought back about her words a lot during the time that I was going through my heartbreak. Like, yo, you know what? That girl actually reached out to me. And then I saw her the way that she was living her life, getting into a new relationship, just kind of tweeting about how happy she was and how much she had healed. It really gave me a lot of like positive energy when I was going through that, like that breakup. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Like, P, what do you think?
Well, obviously having a community is very important. It's important to have people around you who understand you, who love you, who always ride for you, because I am that friend. Listen, if you hurt someone I love, I am burning down your house tonight and I'm stealing all your left shoes and I'm not going to apologize for it. And I like to surround myself with people like that as well. And as much as I may forgive them for hurting me, it's fine that you guys burnt down his house. We're back together though, so we need to make a plan for a new house or something.
I'm gonna be sweeping it up. I'm gonna be sweeping up the ashes with That's him, so you fun. Know?
Yeah,
convincing him not to open a case, like, no, it's okay.
It's fine. It's fine. You guys did it for mm-hmm. a reason, and I appreciate it. There's nothing more isolating than when you're going through something and you have no one to talk to about it.
Yeah.
And I feel mm-hmm. like sometimes when it's especially a repeated cycle, like an abusive one, you start to get embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I can't keep going to my friends and talking about the same thing. And then going back to it, you start getting embarrassed. And mm-hmm. it's not necessarily because somebody said to you, calm down. In your mind, you tell yourself all of these things, like, maybe I should just not tell them anymore. And now you're keeping yourself in a little dark corner. You know, your friends no longer know what's going on with you anymore, because you've internalized the things that are happening to you as if they're your fault. And it's always important to have somebody there who, maybe if you're not going to tell them everything, but they're always going to be there to remind you, it's okay, whatever it is, it's okay. You can tell me when you're ready, but it's okay, I'm here. We can get through this together. And I find that maybe the sisterhood that we are all still discovering amongst each other as strangers helps with that. I know for myself, I have an energy where people just want to open up to me. So I can be in the middle of the club and someone will come up to me and like, my boyfriend's cheating on me. I'm like, okay,
I know.
Do you want to go sit outside? Let's talk.
That's what you did to me. Shit. I was like, I guess we're friends now.
You know, they say, you know, you'd be attracting the kind of things you do, even though I don't believe in that. That seems to have been the case for Pia. But anyway, so we have reached the end of our episode. This was so, so, so much fun. I cannot stress how fun this was. What a fantastic finale. What a worthy finale. I hope that everybody who is listening is really excited and really happy to hear all these voices and all these different perspectives of the episodes you've told me that you love. I just want to thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you for listening to the season. Thank you to everyone who listened to the season. I'm going to let you guys say any last word that you might have, starting, you know, maybe in the order that we introduced ourselves. So, you know,
and go first.
What can I say? It's not a feminist responsibility to keep your boyfriend faithful. Sisterhood is extremely, extremely, extremely important. And if I fucked your man while you were dating, really, it's not my fault. Really, it really isn't my fault. It's not that I want to fuck your man. It's just that I'm attracted to him in that moment. But if we're really good friends, I would not fuck him. Don't worry. I would not fuck him. He's like a snake to me. He is the devil to me. But anyway, honestly, what I would just say is that we're all learning with like our feminism, right? No one has the perfect formula for feminism. So we're going to fuck up, we're going to make up, we're going to do so many things. And also, just because I fucked your man like a long time ago doesn't mean we can't be friends now, because I'm a really amazing person. And what if I wanted to date you and not him? So, you know.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Kim.
I would just have to say to all the listeners, women, female identifying, men who like listening, anyone listening, don't mistake what you've been offered with what you're worth. You're worth so much. Feminism, of course, is a journey. No one has it perfect. It's a constant cycle of learning and unlearning. The important part is just not to be an asshole about unlearning. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tash, you can go.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. This was so much fun. Make sure that you subscribe to my YouTube channel as Zimbarbian. I know everybody else has like something deep to say. I don't. Just make sure you go and check out my story times on my YouTube channel. You know, blippity blippity. Scat, scat, scat! Scat, scat, scat!
Pia?
All I want to say is like,
live your life how you want. Don't isolate yourself from your friends or family, even if you feel embarrassed, even if you feel like a dumb bitch. We've all been dumb bitches, and that's okay. People will still love you as you are, as a dumb bitch. Okay, because I'm a dumb bitch, and my friends and family still love me, and that's okay.
Okay, okay, that is great. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for closing off the season with a bang. Guys, we will have to see you next season.
Boom! Blippity, blippity!
Get, yeah, get, get!
And that's a season!
So that is a wrap on season one of the Feminist Bar Podcast. I just want to give a huge shout out to all of our listeners, to everybody that has contributed to the content this season, to everybody who made the season what it was, because if it was not for you listening, for your engagement, for your ads, for your DMs, we would not be here. So I just want to say a huge thank you. The Feminist Bar Podcast season two will be back in July, bigger and better. So our DMs and my personal DMs are open to any of your suggestions. I would love to hear what you want to hear. I would love to hear what you love, what you hated. So you can follow us at the Feminist Bar Podcast on Instagram, at the Feminist Bar on Twitter, and you can also follow me on my personal Instagram at the Feminist Creative and on my personal Twitter at Makatinatsue. Thank you so much. I love you so much. I love this community. I love you. I love you. I love you. Take a shot for me. Don't stop chilling your wine and talking about all these important things while we are gone. And I look forward to next season. So that's a wrap. Goodbye.